Welcome to Rington and Lynch Chapels and part two of our series on evangelism for the 11th of July 2021. We said before that a non-Christian's first exposure to Jesus is often through odd people with some very strange evangelism, and that's been true from the beginning. People quickly used Jesus for their own message, claiming it's the gospel. And this made the Apostle Paul write against it. And that's our passage for today. So just pause this for a moment and read Galatians 1, verses 6 to 7. Galatians 1, verses 6 to 7. Just two verses. Okay, do you see that? I mean, part of Jesus's mission was demolishing the religious system of approaching God. You know, just trying to find a way to make yourself good enough. And yet, even though Jesus was demolishing that system, a new group quickly tried to build another system on top. And people were proclaiming in Christ's name a different message from the gospel. Therefore, well, what is the gospel? Mark begins, "This is the good news, the gospel about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." This is the good news. What? How does Mark summarize that? He doesn't. Huh. Instead, he tells the story of Jesus, how we're to live, forgiveness, how Jesus provoked religious conservatives, embraced sinners and outcasts. It tells of his death, his sacrifice and resurrection, who he was and what his death meant. And Mark says, this is the gospel. You see, when you tell the story of Jesus, truthfully, you tell the gospel. In fact, if you can explain your faith to a non-Christian and they agree with nearly everything, you're not communicating the gospel. Because the gospel is relentlessly about Jesus and he provided a dividing point. I mean, almost anyone can agree with God is love. We should bless others and live a life of love. Fine, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is when Jesus becomes a dividing line for what we know about God and what he calls us to. And the gospel is almost never communicated the same way twice. So don't approach everyone in the same way, because there are so many different angles. People bump into it at different starting points, at the point that they need to meet it. And that's why in Scripture, the gospel is declared in different ways, but all part of the same message. For instance, 1 Corinthians 15 says, here's the gospel, the sacrifice for our sins. And yet Mark 1, verses 14 to 15 says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news, the gospel of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near, or is within reach. That's his starting point for proclaiming the gospel at that time. And then he calls people to repent. Change your thinking. It's a new way of seeing the world. Repent and believe. Trust this is true. When you were little, did you want to play a musical instrument? You know, you dreamed of being a rock star or a jazz pianist, strutting the stage and amazing people. And then you realised you needed to practice again and again and again. Your fingers needed to get used to the way you find notes so that eventually it becomes natural to play well. And that, frankly, is what we're doing. I mean, here's a summary of the gospel. The good news that God is pursuing us through Christ. Okay, a good summary. And notice it's good news. Whether people believe it is up to them, but the encounter should leave them feeling like they've heard good news. Of course, if someone doesn't know their problem, it can feel like bad news. I mean, if someone tells you, we found a cure for your cancer, and you didn't know you had cancer, you don't initially think that's good news. So we mustn't get stuck on bad news. And that often happens, unfortunately, with evangelism. We try to force people to repent by focusing on the bad, make them feel guilty enough to want the solution we have. Don't you know you're a sinner? And with street evangelism, sometimes you can tell which are the Christians because they're the most angry. They try hard to convict a person. You must have a sense of emptiness. And the answer comes back, no, life's good, work's boring, and I get drunk at weekends, but it's okay. And the Christian then says, oh, at night, don't you sense the darkness that overshadows your meaningless existence? And they say, no, if the beer doesn't work, I just get high. But don't you feel you're in need of a saviour? You know, that doesn't work. Jesus compares it to casting pearls before swine. He says, move on. The time will come, but not now. The gospel is good news. It's also news, notice, not advice. There's a difference. A religion offers advice. Advice is telling someone what they must do to achieve what they want. Here's your eightfold path. Here's the tradition, the rituals. Here's the system you follow to get there. That's religion. And the gospel isn't religion. It says God offers salvation as a gift. It's good news about what God has done. You are simply invited to believe it. And then your life becomes a celebration of salvation, not a striving to obtain it. So the gospel of God is God moving towards us through Christ to show us his love. And here's some pointers that we've mentioned before. Let's sum it up this way. God wants to, one, show us his love, two, save us from sin, three, set up his kingdom and shut down religion. So let's look at examples. That first one, God wants to show us his love. John chapter 1 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. God is invisible, yes, but we sense who God is, not because of subjective meditation, you know, get into the right state. We can have confidence in God because the historical evidence tells us that Jesus shows what God is like in human form. It's God saying, I'm a mystery, but let me show you my heart in Jesus. And Jesus eats with sinners, touches the downtrodden, weeps over Lazarus, washes disciples' feet. This is God's heart towards us. And then secondly, God wants to save us from sin. John the Baptist says about Jesus in John 1, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if Jesus is taking away the sins of the world, that of course makes the religious system redundant. And that's point three, God shutting down religion. God wants to set up his kingdom. It's not about heaven sometime in the future up there, not only, but about a new way of living now. God's kingdom is this new way where we love our enemies as though they are neighbours and love our neighbours as though they are ourselves. The writer Ron Sider explains the gospel like this. He says, "The church in the Western world usually doesn't define the gospel the way Jesus does. If you ask a typical Christian, they would say what matters is that Jesus forgives sinners. But if that's the whole gospel, it's just a ticket to heaven and you can live like hell until you get there. You can accept Jesus and continue to be a murderer or an adulterer." Yet, Jesus said the gospel is good news of the kingdom. He said it's what the prophets expected. The prophets had said when the Messiah came, there would be a new relationship with God and with our neighbour. Everything would be transformed in terms of human brokenness in community. And then Ron Sider continues, "The Pharisees said that if the whole Jewish nation would obey the law perfectly for a day, the Messiah would come. And violent revolutionaries said that if the whole nation rose in armed rebellion, the Messiah would come. And Jesus said, no, the way you get into my kingdom is by grace, and he died on the cross for our sins." That's good, but that's only half the gospel. The other half is a new sociological order among Christians. Everything is being transformed. In the early church, men accepted women in a new way. Jews accepted Gentiles. Rich accepted the poor. They shared economically in a radical new way. Look at Zacchaeus, a rich tax collector profiting from an unjust system. He comes to Jesus and gives back everything he took wrongly. Then he gives a lot to the poor. And Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Not a word about forgiving sins, although I'm sure Jesus forgave him. If the gospel, says Ron Sider, is the good news of the kingdom, then Christian faith is not just a personal relationship between me and Jesus. There's much more. It's what happens in the body of believers as the Spirit transforms broken people, mends unjust relations, and so on. We begin to live that out. And Paul said in Ephesians, "This is the good news, that Jews and Gentiles are now one. The new reality of the multiracial church is part of the gospel." If that's true, you can't share the gospel just with words. You've got to live it together. If you live out the new reality, you're a picture of what heaven will be like. And much of why the church is failing today is that it lives like the rest of the world instead of living Jesus's new kingdom community. When we live his kingdom community, the world says, "Wow." And that happened with the early church. The world said, "What's going on?" And they told them about Jesus. So that's Ron Sider. But do you see, one primary way we should evangelize is to say, see this new sociological experiment we're in, the one Jesus modeled. See not just how my life is changing, but how our relationships have changed. That's the kingdom at work, if we let it. And the final aspect, that bit about good news shutting down religion. If the others are true, then this one obviously follows. For instance, Hebrews 8 says, "By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." You see, the old covenant vanished in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple because a religion based on animal sacrifice became unable to sacrifice anymore, going by their own rules. And Christians see that Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice to shut down religion, the end of religion through Christ. And when sharing the gospel, when we do this, I hope we can. Our best place is to say, well, what's the starting point for this person? It won't always be the same, Some need the message of love first as their starter before they can hear the rest of the gospel because they feel unloved. So start with God's love. And we can believe that because we look at the life of Jesus. And some need the message of forgiveness. They feel their guilt and their conviction. So start there before bringing the rest of the message. Others will say, I need direction. Life is pointless. So start with, let me tell you how my life is shaped as I follow the teaching of Jesus. And talk about kingdom living as a countercultural movement and then move to the rest of the gospel. So today, let me give you some homework. Can you ask yourself, in what ways can I summarize the gospel using different words every time? Not just to become good at communicating, but to own it. Maybe we need to grasp the gospel and its implications for our own lives first. We belong to a different kingdom and we live differently. I mean, to pray, your kingdom come, means your will, your way, your desire for how we would be human. It's not a prayer to just go to heaven. It's asking that God's way of living would invade our lives now. Let's mean it before we say that prayer again. Amen.